Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo, Thursday evenings live at 7:30 p.m. Real talk for those who live outside the Matrix. Call me now and join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hail me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo or visit me at conversationswithcleo.com. Become a part of the economic evolution. Red or blue? You decide, star. All right, my dear, welcome. It is June 27th, 2013, and it is Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m., so we know it must be time for Conversations with Cleo. But this is a real special show. We have extended it to the two-hour maximum time limit tonight because we will be opening up the phone lines at 8:35, as well as we will be keyed into our Twitterverse tweet so that we can share your thoughts if you're too shy to call on the phone and speak how you're feeling to me. You can certainly hit me up on Twitter at Real, R-E-A-L-M-S-C-L-E-O. Let's see here. Boy, supermoon over the weekend, Sunday day. Mercury retrograde just yesterday and Jupiter in Cancer just yesterday. And it has been one hell of a week, and it not over yet. Let me just run down quickly some of the headlines that are running rampant throughout these United States as well as throughout the entire planet. At the top, much love to the Mandela family. Nelson Mandela is on life support. Last that I heard, we are all praying for the family. Certainly, Mr. Mandela has served this planet well in all that he has moved through. So nothing but love, nothing but healing, and nothing but heart to Nelson Mandela and to his family and to all of South Africa. We also have one, two, three different monumental, historic, and I don't necessarily say historic with all the jubilance, but three monumental historic decisions from the United States Supreme Court. We also have the George Zimmerman case that is going on. We also have that Aaron Hernandez, formerly of the New England Patriots, has been arrested not for one murder, but for a double murder. We also have Paula Deen, who, bless her heart, is imploding due to a civil lawsuit and the ramifications thereof of a hostile work environment. We also have Mr. Snowden, who, for all intents and purposes, as far as we know, is still at the Moscow airport. And I could go on for another 10 minutes about all of the salacious headlines that are out there spinning around in the cyberverse, on television, all throughout the satellite airwaves. And as I said, the week is not over yet. Now, the title of this show is the 1965 Voter Rights Act, hung out to dry by the United States Supreme Court and dropped in the lap of Congress. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I went to the water to meditate before I got ready to do the show, and I saw a couple walking past with a little stroller and probably a fairly new pickney, probably 7-8 months old. And the husband was saying, "Are you serious? I do all of the lawn. I do all of the dishes. What more do you want me to do?" And then they walked down a little bit further, and then he must have said something. And the wife said, "Are you serious?" And I almost feel like that should be the title of tonight's show. Are you serious? Because I got to tell you, that's the nicest way to put it when you look at what and how and all that has gone on. And some of these, you say, "Well, Ms. Cleo, we thought you were going to just talk about the Voters' Rights Act." Well, I got to tell you, stars, everything is not what it seems. And sometimes, since we had a little bit of interference, apparently in a previous show this week that I did very impromptu, for some reason, people couldn't access it. Anyway, sometimes you don't put all of your tickets on the table until you're ready to ride. They can't be so ready before you get there. So welcome to all of my Alphabet Soup professionals, as well as to anyone else out there who may not like what I have to say today. Like I said, we're going to keep it 100. We're going to keep it real. And ain't nobody going to go off on no tangent. And ain't nobody going to start to chat no rust. But we're going to keep it factual. We're going to keep it reasonable. We're going to keep it intelligent because so many don't believe that we can. And the we that I speak to is not about color. It's those of us who unplug on a regular and we live outside of the matrix. So if you are faint of heart or you are not interested in a different perspective, then go ahead, log out, tune off, do whatever you need to do and go somewhere else where you can be entertained by the rest of the fuckery that is running around. Because today, it's unbridled and it's unfiltered. So check it. I want to set the tone for the afternoon. And so I want to let you all know where I was at probably back in 2007. This was my position. This piece is very personal to me and my friends who are my family. In October 2006, I made the difficult decision to come out publicly, inspired by one of my teenage godsons. I am grateful, as is his mother, that he has the right to be who he is out in the open. But I am quick to remind him that this did not happen in a vacuum. Gay men and women of the past have made great sacrifices. Some even gave their life for him to have this opportunity. Currently, there is a movement afoot to alter Florida's constitution with an anti-gay marriage amendment. I have fought discrimination all of my life, and I won't stop now. As a black lesbian single mother, I know that I count, my vote counts. So I dedicate this piece to the memory of those who fought for my rights 40 years ago and to those of us who are fighting now. Mad love to my brethren of Equality Florida, fairness for all families, and to all of you for showing me love. Since I can remember, I've been told who I can love. My mother told me to avoid black men at all costs, marry white, have mulatto babies with good hair and light eyes. But society said it was wrong. Why would she tell me that if she knew the truth all along? In short, this kind of marriage was against the law. Ask Richard and Mildred Loving. They were arrested, prosecuted, and convicted in 1959. A suspended sentence followed by exile. We'll look the other way this time. Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman, was ostracized by his own community for marrying his Swedish wife. Frederick Douglass, chided and maligned in 1885 for making a Mayflower daughter his wife. Romeo and Juliet of the feuding Montagues and Capulets, innocent star-crossed lovers, quietly laid down and gave their life. And I halfway listened to my mother, but I'm sure she didn't understand when I brought home my first white girlfriend. She was not pleased and told me it was wrong. Now I was confused. She was white, but loving another woman, it's not right. It's against God's law. It's against the true nature of man, so stated Anita Bryant with her trademark glass of orange juice in her hand. Call your senator, write your congressman. Let's ban homosexual love throughout the land. But she and her overweight Bible belt failed, glad to say. But don't rest on your laurels. They'll be back for us another day. And that day has arrived. Anita is only a ridiculous memory, but her hate and misery is still strong and equally as vile. What has caused the tide to change? The GLBT community is demanding the same rights as a husband and a wife, celebrating our unions, raising our children, contributing members of society, our heads held high for all to see, full of pride, self-respect, and dignity. Get used to it. It's so much more than a passing trend. But the moral majority is upset. Their panties are all in a bunch once again. Excuse me while I pull out my soapbox so you can get a clear view of my rainbow socks. I am lesbian, hear me roar. We will not retreat back into our closets. For your comfort's sake, we will not close the door.
We deserve the same rights, and you can best believe we're not going away, not that easy, not without a fight. I've got news for all the clergy, politicians, and lobbyists. That includes you too, Mr. Chris. We will not fail should you attempt to put our resolve to the test. We will not allow you to legislate our love, demean our commitment by changing the Constitution with a discriminating anti-gay marriage amendment. We will act up, voice out 1 million loud before we consent to put our lives, our loves, and our vision of tomorrow into your narrow-minded hands.
Boy, I tell you, I still get a goosebump, man. That is from my first CD, Convicted for My Beliefs. And it was released in 2007. It's all there. It's all true. I did have a godson who doesn't look anything like me. Nice little Jewish boy. And at 16, he decided to come out. And again, at that point in time, I was not out to the public. I knew what kind of price I would have to pay coming out, given that I am from the Caribbean and given the mindset of family, because I had plenty of family that didn't know. I went ahead and I took that risk because there was no way to teach him to stand strong for himself if I was going to still be hiding in the closet. And at that time, the state of Florida these groups who are definitely religion-driven did get a ballot on the they got it on the ballot to vote this down. They were successful, but only by 2%. And so then in the state of Florida, gay marriage became illegal. And you cannot do it, and they would not receive it, and there, and there, and there, and there. And so when I wrote this piece, I purposely dedicated it because it was a very political CD. I purposely dedicated it to the mission. Whether I wanted to be a married lesbian or not, whether I wanted to stand up in that way, what was more important is that any of my friends who were gay and lesbian, I needed for them to have the right to choose. It is up to no one to dictate who you can love. And I thought that it was very apropos because at that time I tied the same dynamics of the miscegenation laws to the same kind of vibration for the gay community because it made sense, because it different only by the players who were inserted to the formula, which we all know as discrimination. And certainly I am very happy for the decision that United States Supreme Court made. You all have heard me. Those who have followed me for the last 2 years know my position. I certainly stand tall and I stand strong because I believe if we are going to ask gay men and women to join the military and to leave their children and to leave their spouses, all right, whether it's recognized by a church or the state, it is irrelevant. But you're going to ask them to go to the military. And if they give their life and their family makes that great sacrifice, and then this government says, well, we don't recognize you, so we don't have to pay you any benefits, and we don't have to take care of your children like we would a straight man or a woman who was in the military. And I thought that that stunk to high fucking heaven. You understand? And that is when I was able to step back and really take in the brevity of what was going on. And so often we get caught up in the minutiae and how the media and those giant rascal fucking talking heads telling us what to think. We miss the point. All of us have the opportunity to miss the point. All of us have the opportunity to lose the plot. All right? And so I don't want anyone for a moment to think that I am not absolutely thrilled for all of my brethren, because you all know I say it in a very specific way. Finally, it is legal for married people to be gay. You understand? Because married is married. I don't give a rass what your color, how short, how tall, your gender, same sex or not, hetero or gay. Marriage is marriage. And what they haven't done is they haven't made it legal. But what they've said is in those states that have deemed it legal for married people to be gay, the federal government will honor and recognize in full throttle, all right, that marriage. Now, of course, we know this got handed down on the day Mercury went retrograde. So we don't have all the information, my dears. Trust me, we don't, because they haven't feathered it all out. And those that are against it, they have said, including Mr. Boehner, who said it is a sad, sad day for our country. What the bomber a sad me blood clot. It is not sad. It is a wonderful day in many ways yesterday. In many, many ways. And the fact that Proposition 8 was dismissed, and what that means is the last ruling that was in favor of gay marriage in California will stand, all right? Because the people who brought the case to the Supreme Court did not have the right. There's that word again. Didn't have the right, didn't have the standing, as they call it in the legal world, to bring that case. So the U.S. Supreme Court said, okay, we don't have nothing to do with that because you don't have the standing. And then when we talk about affirmative action, well, the Supreme Court once again said, you know what? This should have never made it here. So we're going to kick this back to the lower court and they have to deal with it. All right. Now, I'm not really quite sure how much these motherfuckers make. And I know they got a lifetime job and they got a great pension and they have wonderful health care. But so they can just kind of not do their job and call it a day. I guess so. You know, that's the way it was written. And I got to tell you, it's a little bit disconcerting, but, you know, we're going to keep on moving through. We're not going to sit here and linger on the things that don't really mean anything. All right? So that's where we're at yesterday. Now, if you all are at your laptops or at your computers, there are two pictures that I have posted on my blog talk page, and you'll see them, and we will be talking about them. It is the front page of the Palm Beach Post the day after the gay rights victory in the U.S. Supreme Court, because many do see it as a huge victory. I certainly see it as a huge victory. I am curious nonetheless as to what it's going to look like on the other side of this retrograde once you have those bigots who want to stop the madness. You understand? This is what they perceive it to be. I am a gay woman. You understand? So they're going to stop my madness. They've never stopped me from being gay. You understand? So they don't have that kind of power. But they do have a great deal of power for many other couples, as well as that elder woman who just got ripped off by the IRS. There's another headline for you. Because her partner of how many decades died, and she was hit with such attacks, and had her union to her partner been recognized by the federal government, she would not have had to pay the enormity of what she did have to give up to the IRS. Let's see what they do with our tax bill. Let's see what the resolution is in this case. Now that I've brought you forward, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to hit on all of these, and then we're going to break it down 100. And let's take a different look at the way all of these things are going to come together, because I'm going to bring it together for you here in just a moment. So you hang in there with me, all right? Now, given that that is the position of where we're at now, all right, and that decision came down on the 26th of June, 2013. Now, before we go to the next decision handed down,
by the United States Supreme Court. I need you all to figure out where I was when I put this down, 2013, just a few months ago. And work hard to get comfortable in my own skin. From the time I was born, someone somewhere deemed that there was something wrong with me. Enough people believe that you choose your parents and your destiny. I have looked at the concept, reviewed the theory, and I respectfully disagree, for I would not have chosen to be a black pygmy and a sheep. Because when I arrived on the scene, being black wasn't a good thing at all, at least not how it looked to me. Let me skip ahead in order to keep a long story short to the time in my life when I became aware of my sexuality. I knew that I loved women, got nothing but my love for men, but only a woman could steal my heart. And once again, I was compelled to recognize that someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. Someone asked me what hurts worse. There was no hesitation on my part, racism of course. They asked, isn't it the same thing? I replied, no, it's not the same thing. And then again, maybe it is, or better yet, maybe it's the lesser of two evils. The conversation came back to me as I sat under the mango tree, wishing I could have spoken words to help someone somewhere understand. So I asked myself, why does it hurt worse if someone somewhere calls me a nigger rather than a bull dagger or a dyke? Why does it hurt worse if I am pigeonholed and profiled as an angry black woman that fits the description of someone who might steal, instead of someone somewhere sneering and casting looks at me for holding my girlfriend's hand? Why does it hurt so bad when I think about the president's children and how hard it must be for he and the first lady to protect their black pygmy from all the hate-filled, ignorant words that run rampant over the airwaves, instead of being saddened and dismayed by another failed attempt to make it legal for married people to be gay? Why? Because I'm black. Someone somewhere might say, that's too simple a cop-out. Then let me break it down this way. I never got pulled over by the police for walking home at night because I was gay. I was never ignored in a diner or a restaurant, which happened to be in the right part of town because I was gay. I don't worry about driving through a good neighborhood at night because I'm gay. I was never underpaid and replaced by an SWL who was paid twice as much as me because I was gay. As a child, I was never tormented, picked on, or belittled because I was gay. I don't remember any signs telling me to keep out because I was gay. I have never been profiled and detained by INS and Homeland Security because I was gay. I have never searched for a friendly face that looks like me and a sea of people who don't look anything like me because I'm gay. I have never had my intelligence judged before I spoke because I was gay. Stick your head in the sand, deny what's going on. I'm not looking for your pity, I'm sure as hell don't want your empathy. I'm not an angry black woman, I have made my own way, despite someone somewhere. I am frustrated, pained and tired, wondering and waiting for this racism bullshit to end. And it would be one thing if it was all in the past, but it's not. Laws had to be written and ratified to validate our humanity as opposed to our prior category known as property. And it is not my problem if someone somewhere thinks or believes we are hypersensitive or we perpetuate the division. And while it may not seem that I have remembered the lesser of the two evils, I have. Because 95% of the homophobia I've experienced has been at the hands and mouths of my own brethren. Nothing to celebrate there, and here we go again. Someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. So instead of casting me out, I was given a choice. It's us or them. To hell with me and my heart. Never was afraid of losing my job because I was black, but I did worry once because I was gay. Why hear the joke? It was a black woman threatening to turn me in because she heard from another black woman who was just as gay as I was, but also closeted and a card-carrying Republican. The burst attention from self and onto someone else. That was that junk for a strategy. Stereotype or truth, what would it benefit this bitch to take food out of the mouth of my youth? And for the record, and in case I haven't been clear, it hurt like hell. It prompted me to come out of the closet, take back my power, dash away the fear and tell all my brethren. Uh-oh. Needless to say, it didn't go well. No warm embraces, only denial, accusations, and ultimately rejection. From most, not all. And just to make sure I bring this ride full circle, let me add that on those occasions where I find myself navigating both egos on the same day, in the same moment, with someone somewhere who decides in their little P.S. brain, I am not worthy, I have no right, and I need to be gone. Those occasions, brethren, them fuckers hurt most of all. People can spend a lifetime in therapy fighting, trying, working to overcome the wounds and pains of childhood. And it is an accepted, reasonable, rational truth. No justification required. So why is it so hard to accept that an entire race of people might need more than 50 years to get over more than 180 years of hatred, injustice, dismissal, and degradation in a country where they don't let us forget? I realize I can't help someone somewhere understand where I'm coming from. Instead, I have been met with judgment, denial, and travail. No matter the evil, no matter the day, from someone somewhere who has decided that I don't have a right to my personal skin. As things stand, I'm not sure what to expect, so I am left asking for one thing. Simple respect for my life experience, chalk, and let's leave it at that. Then,
can't go any further without giving much love out to Mr. Make It Like It right now, T-Walk, who put together that track for me. And much respect, boss, because it was truly a collaboration and he felt me based on just what I explained to him I was trying to convey. And the beat and the vibe is spot on. So this must give you a slight indication about where Miss Cleo's getting ready to go right now. And we're getting ready to go to that, let's see, I guess you couldn't call it an inside-out Oreo cookie or a mixed-up Oreo cookie, because we had the ruling on affirmative action, kicked that back to a lower court, and then we had the ruling on DOMA and Prop 8. And let's see, something happened in between those two. Let me think. Because there hasn't been a lot of talk about it on the media, on the national news or the cable news. Oh, that's right. U.S. Supreme Court hung the Voters' Rights Act out to dry and dropped that soggy piece of promise into the lap of Congress. And yes, I'm hot. Well, Ms. Cleo, who you hot at? I'm hot at us. All right? And here's the deal. Back in October of 2012, I did a show when I was on Podbean, different channel. And I was a little bit frustrated because I brought this information to people in October of last year. And the ratings on that show were rather low. And I thought, what a bomba. So people not care? So they're just going to let this thing happen. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of fact, there was a lot of information. in that show. So what I'm going to do is I am going to play a portion of that rebroadcast for that show to bring you all forward as to what actually happened, including the legalese and the motivation for all of what occurred on the 25th of June, 2013, when the United States Supreme Court struck down Section 4 of the Voters' Rights Act. It's not dead air, just queuing up, no worries. Mercury retrograde. Hello, my dears, and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. It is Tuesday, October the 2nd, 2012. Thank you all for tuning in. Those of you who heard the teaser on yesterday's show, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to stop by today, because I have a matter that I want to share and chat with you about that the mainstream media is kind of couching and slipping by so many of us, because this, up until this point, has slipped past me. And this was an issue that was brought to the forefront almost 20 years ago, and some paid attention and some dismissed it and some just thought it was idle rumor. I am a bit offended by the arrogance of the powers that be, whoever they be, that they could continue to push something like this past so many of us. And so today I stray away from my normal format to come to you to make you aware of information. What you do with it and how you share it is completely and totally up to you. For those of you who don't know, the United States Supreme Court will be reconvening on October the 10th, 2012. And there is a long laundry list of cases for them to listen to. One of those cases is the outmoding, and I'm using the political ease term, of the 1965 Voters' Rights Act. And it's a little bit disturbing. They are not talking about throwing out the entire act. They are talking about throwing out specific provisions to the act. So I want to be clear, and I will review what those provisions are. However, I need to take you back a little bit. I need to do a quick history lesson, and so I ask that you bear with me. If you know it, good, share it. If you don't know it, still want you to share it after you hear it today. Go investigate it. Like I said, you don't have to take my word on any of this, my dears. It's out there. The 15th Amendment, which was passed into law on February 3rd, 1870, essentially made sure that the rights of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Now, this was written in direct response to the post-Civil War vibration and the freeing of black men in this country. However, it would take the next 95 years and the passage of the 1965 Voters' Rights Act in order to enforce the 15th Amendment. Now, when the writers and the creators of the Voters' Rights Act put it into motion, they perceived or hoped that they would be able to get rid of it in the next 5 years. However, that did not take place. So they re-ratified it in 1970. And then they re-ratified it again in 1975. And then they re-ratified it again in 1982. But in 82, under the Reagan administration, it was passed for an additional 25 years. Because understand, my dears, that the Voters' Rights Act is not an actual law. This is why this re-ratification process can take place, is because they were hoping we would outgrow
our situation, that we would evolve differently. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. So in 1982, that took it to 2007. Now, in the 2005 and 2006, there were congressional hearings, both in Congress and in the Senate, that identified several violations, all right? And these violations were caused by new tactics, such as at-large elections and annexations and last-minute poll place changes and redistricting, which it was clear to both the House and the Senate in 2005 and in 2006 that these new tactics had been discriminately exercised in areas where the population was black or poor or of some type of minority. And the House and the Senate also deemed that these new tactics had had discriminatory impact on these voters. And in light of those identifications of many violations, in 2007, they re-ratified the Voters' Rights Act, which would take us to 2032. So, Ms. Cleo, how did it wind up in front of the Supreme Court in 2012? Well, I don't know if you all have been listening to this madness about voter ID and trying to purge voter lists and accusations of fake voters and voter fraud. However, what this has done has placed the very Voters' Rights Act at the feet of the Supreme Court. Now, I'm going to give you some background here. So, Ms. Cleo, when you say they're trying to get rid of the act, what does that mean? Well, understand, when Lyndon Johnson signed the act, because it is not a law, but when Lyndon Johnson passed the Voters' Rights Act, it was to ensure that no federal, state, local, or government entity in any way could impede voters the right to vote due to race or ethnicity. All right? That's what the act said, just so that we're clear. The issue now is that the Voters' Rights Act is outmoded. And that is a political ease, my dears. Because what that means is they're saying that it's outdated and that it's no longer necessary. Which confuses me a bit and causes me to scratch my ass and my head at the same time. Because if 2005 and 2006 violations with new packaging have been identified, how is it that we came to our senses in 7 short years? Because I don't know about you all, but I've been watching the treatment of our first black president, and I gotta tell you, I'm not seeing improvement reflected in the disrespect that this man suffers daily from so many of this republic. So I don't know how they feel that it's outmoded. But let's talk about what they say is outmoded. Because we're going to keep this not personal. We're not going to keep it too overpassionate. I want to deal with the facts at hand. Now, the issue is, and they're saying that people are getting their panties possibly in a bunch without reason. Because they only want to get rid of certain provisions in the Voters' Rights Act. That would be provision number 5, provision 6 through 9, and provision 203. I never knew that there were 203 plus provisions to the Voters' Rights Act. But, you know, once again, when you don't know. Now, the provision, section 5, if you would, says that certain jurisdictions, and these jurisdictions were identified by mainly 16 or so southern states, certain jurisdictions must obtain approval or pre-clearance from the Department of Justice or the United States District Court in Washington, D.C., before they can change any voting process, practice, or procedure, which is, i.e., what they are trying to do now with this whole purging and voter ID, etc., etc. These states have to receive this approval. Ironic that this provision they're trying to throw out. Provisions 6 through 9 cover the following. Federal government must send election examiners and observers to certain jurisdictions that are covered by Section 5. These would be those that enforce the Voters' Rights Act. And Section 203 says that certain jurisdictions must provide bilingual language assistance when voting. And this provision was added in 1975. Just so we're clear with the way that this has evolved. Now, about 20 years ago, I belonged to an activist group, and I was very, very active in getting out, once again, information. And somebody in the group brought a conversation to the group and said, do you know that the Voters' Rights Act has to be re-ratified every so often? And so the black man in this country could lose their right to vote if it isn't re-ratified. And certainly I thought that they had gone too far. I thought they were drinking entirely too much Kool-Aid until I did my own research. Now, this was back in 1994 when I heard this. And I was most dismayed when I realized that the person who had brought the conversation to me was quite accurate in what they were saying. A lot of passion included, but quite accurate. And I have run down those times because, again, they set it up in 1970, re-ratified in 1975, and then in 1982, the Reagan administration said, 25 years, we're going to keep it around. So 2007 came, and because of the violations that were identified by both Congress and the Senate in 2005 and 2006, they said, we're going to re-ratify it for another 25 years, bringing us to 2032. Please to explain how this is now finding itself in the lap of the United States Supreme Court when it's supposed to be good until 2032. So anything that was done in 2007, they've just kind of dismissed it. We're not going to pay attention to this. Now, when I first heard the story in the 90s, it was distressing and it was disturbing. However, I thought to myself, certainly they would not do that. There would be an uprising. And they re-ratified it. And personally, I am a very proud queen of conspiracy. And I personally think that this whole voter purging thing was very deliberate and very contrived. Because here we are. Just 5 short years later, ready to dash out certain provisions of the Voters' Rights Act. We said, Ms. Cleo, well, they're not going to get rid of all of it, but here's the deal. The sections that I talked to you about, Section 5, Section 6 through 9, and Section 203, these are the enforcement provisions. So what good is an act or a law if there is nothing behind it to enforce it? Are you kidding me? Are you fucking shitting me? I said I was going to contain my passion. But genuinely, people, we are sitting here paying attention to all manner of other things. Now, I am not saying that the other things don't have merit. But we are very clear right now that we are not ready for them to dash away these provisions that enforce my right and anyone who looks like me right to vote in this country. The 15th Amendment freed black men. They were not slaves, they were enslaved. And it gave every man in this country, beyond color, any race, any ethnicity, any previous condition of servitude, the right to vote. And it is protected under the United States Constitution. Now that was a law, but it took 95 years to write another piece of paper that listed enforcements and consequences and put things in place so that different people of different races and different groups could not be disenfranchised. And here we are, sitting on the steps of the United States Supreme Court to see if this is outmoded legislature. I don't know about you, my dears, but I don't think it's outmoded. I personally think that many of those politicians, and I heard this from a gentleman I was sharing this conversation with this morning, the politicians are outmoded. So perhaps if we can't do something about what's happening right this second, because we don't know how the court justices are going to rule on this. And I don't know, quite honestly, if at this point in time, anything that we say will have an impact. But my dears, while we are worrying about the rich getting richer, while we are concerned with every celebrity debutante and who they sleep with, while we are concerned with Ahmadinejad and Israel and Afghanistan and Libya, and we're barking about their freedom, my freedom, my rights are at risk right now. Your rights are at risk right now. We need to bring our focus back home right now. Because they're getting ready to flip the script in one big kind of way, my dears. And I got to tell you, if in 1980-something I thought maybe we were growing as a country where race would not be the issue anymore, I cannot say I believe that today in 2012. Personally, I think racism in this country, as I have said before, has reared its head beyond. And it is uglier and it is more foul. And I find that people can use the internet as an anonymous cloak, an anonymous hood on their head, if you would, spewing all kinds of foul foolishness. And as for me, I am going to have this conversation with every individual I can. Because if they start here, then they can really take this anywhere. And the only reason it's allowed to happen is because we are not paying attention. I could give a shit about a phone. I could give a shit about a video game. I could give a shit about any of these things that they constantly, reality TV, whatever the hell else they distract us with. And trust me, my dears, we will have nobody to blame. Not the politicians. We won't be able to blame them. You know why? Because we did nothing. So if this happens, I don't know what this will lead to. Perhaps not to nothing. Perhaps we will all luxuriate in our complacency and allow it to happen. Just like we allowed the repassage of the Patriot Act when everybody was concerned about the debt ceiling. They passed that right under our nose. Did you all know that? They're not going to tell you. I heard it in a blurb. Never heard the blurb again. Look it up. Find out when they repassed the Patriot Act. You'll be surprised. You'll have to stop and say, what was I doing that day? I must not have listened to the news. But as members of this republic, my dears, it is so easy for us to take a finger and point at this group or point at that politician or point at this one over here. Go look in the mirror and then point that finger and see that it's not pointing back at you. So like I said, you don't have to believe me about what's going on. Go ahead. Take a look. CBS is running a story easily enough. NAACP, it's got some writings on it. But again, it's not necessarily coming to the forefront. Now, perhaps that'll change on October the 10th, but then it goodly could be just a little bit too late. So for me, this is just like a bad case of deja vu. All right, I think I'm going to put my soapbox away, and personally, this is not a soapbox issue. This is an issue of sharing information. Ms. Cleo, what can I do? Write your congressmen, write your senators, write the media, write the NAACP, text President Obama, text Vice President Biden. He's always been very active in protecting this act. Get out there, reach out, share the information, make it trend on Twitter, put it out there on Facebook. But people, we have got to participate. If we don't participate, then we don't get a right to complain. Peace. All right, my dears, that was a rebroadcast from October 2nd, 2012. And I just want to bring you guys back here full circle so they can hear me sitting here right now on June the 27th, 2013 at 8:22 p.m. And some of you might be sitting back and say, uh-oh, Ms. Cleo, did you make a prediction back in October? Well, I don't know. You listen to it. I don't like to put that word out there. But look here. As I said at the top of this, I'm hot. Who am I hot with? I got to go look in the mirror, dears. I'm hot with me. I'm hot with all the rest of you out there. Because we didn't do anything. We didn't stand up. Some might say, well, we took the right to vote for granted. Well, I don't know if that's all of that. But here's the deal. We didn't do anything. They slipped it right past us and dazzled us with all of this monumental bullshit, right? But here's the joke. Remembering that piece I talked about, I went on today to see how many pages I could find that talked about this very thing being a rumor and being a hoax. And let me tell you, I could only find two stories. 5 years ago, when I told a very dear friend about it, and she said, oh, I can't believe that, and she went online. And she said, look here, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. This don't feel like no hoax to me. And this is the truth. And I was only able to find two stories on the internet that called it a hoax. One of them was written on Philly.com, which is associated with The Inquirer and the Daily News. And it was all about the Voters' Rights Act, September 5th, 1998. And the concern was that it was going to expire in 2007 unless Congress renewed it and black people would lose their right to vote. And this person goes on to say in this article that, I want to quote them, quote, in this moment of anguish, in the face of this threat to one of our fundamental freedoms, there's only one thing I can say to worried black Americans, get a grip, unquote. Now, this article was written by a man by the name of Leonard Pitts Jr. I have no information on Mr. Pitts Jr., but clearly he did not know what he was talking about. He goes on to say in the article, quote, it's just a stupid rumor, folks, been ricocheting around the internet for a year or more. Really, Mr. Pitts? How you feeling today, boss man? How's that rumor working for you today? And that was published September 5th, 1998, 4 years after I heard about it. Then I went to another website
which is the Ferris State University website, also supports the Jim Crow Museum. Had no idea there was a museum. But the same or similar position was written by an attorney who was on the committee for the Voters' Rights Act by the name of Jonah H. Goldman. Well, I got to tell you, maybe I'm making a reach, maybe I'm making a presumption, but I'm pretty sure Mr. Goldman don't look like me. And same dynamic, that it was a rumor, no reason to be concerned. And that was written August 2004. And here now, we were laid in the lap of the United States Supreme Court. We waited patiently on the steps, and now we have been kicked out of town and told to go and sit on timeout with Congress. And above all else, that seems to be one of the biggest insults to me. Because the only thing that Congress can agree on is how to give themselves another raise. Because they couldn't agree on whether to use one pile, two pile, or three pile toilet paper to wipe the shit from their asses. So, you know, if we're going to be waiting for them to get it together, well, look here, darling. My cactus hair might be even more gray or completely fall out by then. Trust me. Now, here's the other part of this, though, and this is where we're getting ready to flip the script just a little bit here. Here's the joke. We were all focused on Section 5, 6 through 9, and 203. And guess what? They struck down Section 4. That's the section that they gave back to Congress to develop this formula that would outline how Section 5, 6 through 9, and 203 would be enforced. And if that's not clear enough, let me break it down this way. If Section 4 is the nail and Section 5 is the hammer, and they take away the nail, what the fuck is the hammer supposed to do? You understand what I'm saying to you? One needs the other. So even then, the joke is still on us because we were looking at Section 5 and they took out Section 4. We got caught slipping, Bradrian. We got caught slipping. And still, the joke is on us if we are referring to the election that takes place, that is a farce, surrounding who the president will be. Because you, my friends, do not choose your president. The Electoral College, which was established in 1787, chooses your president. Well, say, Cleo, who chooses the Electoral College? Oh, Congress and the senators. Yeah, man, they do it. I don't ever get any resumes on these people. I don't know who these people are. There isn't a list of the names of these people who choose your president. So what the fuck is all of the scuttlebutt about then? Well, here's the deal. The most important elections are the least participated in. That is your election for your state governor. That is your election for your local state Senate and Congress, and that is the election for the U.S. Senate and for the U.S. House of Representatives. The numbers across the board, black, white, male, female, and anyone else who has the right to vote, they don't vote. You say, well, Ms. Cleo, this is madness. This can't happen. Well, I don't know what you're telling me can happen. Well, so what do we do from now? Well, we're going to have to do things just a little bit differently. Because we can't beat this dead horse till it draw flies, because Congress don't care about flies, honey. You hear me? They don't care nothing about flies. And we're going to stop there for right now, because what I want to do is we're going to open up our phone lines here in about 5 minutes. And I want you all to feel free. Like I said, you can go ahead and give me a call at 347-826-9597. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo, RealMsCleo. Or you can hit me up and drop me a comment on my Facebook page, the only one I have out there, which is Conversations-with-Cleo. All right? And let me know what you're feeling and what you're thinking as we're moving through this historical, unprecedented, gobsmacking week of all manner of things that have our heads spinning, and we are still going to try and bring some focus to it in the scheme of everything. Now, I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause because I've been talking for a very, very long time, and we are going to give some love out to all of CC's friends at Passion for Pause. Passion for Pause, a nonprofit with a new approach. They believe in assisting disabled, elderly, or family members in financial crisis to keep their canine family members within the home. Passion for Paws truly understands that our dogs are members of the family, and no one should ever have to make the difficult choice to let their canine family member go because of an unforeseen event or crisis. Ava Rose, Executive Director at Passion for Paws, is looking for volunteers, foster home, vet care services, and sponsors of pet food drives. She is a gentle and committed spirit with a passion for paws. You can visit her at www.passionforpaws.info. You will find all of the pertinent information, and there you can donate your time or your money. Once again, we thank you, and the dogs and canines that I know personally, thank you as well. Have a special event coming up like a wedding, concert, a big week visiting for a very important corporate meeting, or just a night out on the town with friends. Looking for that right limo service? Then check out Live Limo. 10% off your first service, 5% off when you open a corporate account. You can contact them at 800-557-5154, or if you're local, 561-414-9686. Check them out on Facebook, or you can visit their website at www.livelimousineusa.com. Live Limo, the most reliable luxury transportation service in South Florida. Ask for Carlos or Nadla. Tell them Cleo sends our love. Dog pack snacks are made by hand in small batches from grade A USDA inspected ingredients. They are licensed by the Florida Department of Agriculture. Dog pack snacks use chicken, not chicken broth. They use apples, not applesauce. Lean meats for high protein, fruits and veggies that have excellent nutritional value. Coco tested and approved. Coco is the chief tester on board, and she is a divalicious canine. So visit her at www.dogpacksnacks.com. And if you'd like to follow Coco and her crew, hit them up on Twitter at Dog Pack Snacks. All right, my dears, we are back, and I have got my Twitter page up, just checking you all out. See if anybody's got any messages out there for me. By all means, we have the phone lines open in just 2 minutes. Go ahead and call in. Please try and keep your comment or your question very clear, as we want to try and get as many people in as possible. And for those that don't call, I respect it and understand it. No worries, because y'all know I can chat it up without a doubt. Still have some very, very interesting information, because we have to touch on the Zimmerman trial. I got to tell you, from since I did the show on Monday, and I jumped on the air because I just couldn't believe some of the things that were taking place. And I told you on that day, it went up. I went live at 6 o'clock, only to find that my show could not be accessed after it was completed. But we don't know what alphabet soup kind of ran some interference there. I'm not really going to give them too much worry or too much love. They're going to do what they're going to do, and I'm just going to have to stay on my J-O-B. But right now, in this moment, I got to give some love out to the young woman who was Trayvon Martin's friend, who was on the phone with him the night he was murdered. And that myself just churns my stomach and is upsetting to me. There's an 18-year-old girl. Her name is Rachel Gentile. And Rachel comes from a Haitian family, but she has no Haitian accent. And she does not, according to some of the talking heads out there as they mocked her, speak the king's English. Well, from that movie a couple of years ago, hell, the king couldn't even fucking speak, so I'm not going to worry about that, right? And if you piss me off, you're not going to be able to understand me either, because I'm going to take the king's English and wipe my backside with it, right? But again, Rachel, and maybe she'll hear and maybe she won't hear, but each and every one of you, you get a chance. You send out some love to that young woman, because let me tell you something. I would have already been in jail if that man, Mr. West, would have browbeat me, insult my intelligence, insult the way I speak. Do you all see? How could she not have a lisp? Did you see the braces in her mouth? I understood every friggin' word she was saying, and I was offended. I mean offended above offended at how this young black woman was disrespected, all under the guise of a fair trial for Mr. Zimmerman. You understand? I'm still trying to figure out where the fuck was fair for Trayvon, right? But, you know, we're going to let Lady Justice, you know, with the bling bling of the scales and the damn blindfold, chick need to find a new outfit. But you did a good job, Rachel. And they could not sway you, and they could not twist up her words. She is still hurting and mourning her friend. I can't imagine what it must be like moments before. And when she got off the phone, she said she thought it was just a regular fight. But to find out later that you were the last person, the last one, to speak to somebody before they met their demise. And imagine, as an older woman, when I hear about my friends dying, it causes me to question my own mortality. Imagine at 18, this young woman has to question her own mortality, the mortality of her friends, her brethren, her cousins, her brothers, whatever it may be. And that's what happens when somebody close to you crosses over long before you expected them to, or it was unexpected, period. Nonetheless, to have his life taken by some paranoid, overzealous neighborhood watchman. I said it. Probably a little bit unfair, but if Mr. West carries on the same way, there's got to be a voice somewhere else out there. And the talking heads want to insult this little girl, and I want to tell them, like I said, tell them to turn over there, so. After 2 days of testimony, it seems like they have finally let her go. They've twisted her words, and that has only been another part of the chess move. Because trust me, this has been set up to confuse the jury. Do you think it was accidental that her microphone wasn't working? I don't. But like I said, I will wear my crown proudly as a conspiracy theorist. I don't care what any of you all within the sound of my voice think about me, because I know as a what me know. Done deal. Now, there was a whole big fuss about Trayvon. Initially, he called Mr. Zimmerman a creepy white-ass cracker. All right? I remember the first time I heard my mother use the word cracker. And trust me, that was back in the early 60s. I heard cracker. That's not a word I've ever used. You understand? But people use it in the South. Very rare. Hell, a cracker, I call a cracker, a cracker. And there's a whole group. And the word cracker is actually about a group of men who were herders, ranch people. And the cracker was about them cracking the whip. So really, the word has been taken out of context. Much the same, but with a lot less hurt, as the word nigger. Yes, I said it. But I'm going to take you all back to some King's fucking English. Because the King's English, the word is spelled niggard, N-I-G-G-A-R-D. Look it up. You know what I tell you all? You don't have to believe me. And what it means is ignorant, unintelligent, uneducated person. And that's what they used to describe the Africans that they snatched from their motherland and brought them here because they spoke a different language. You understand? And they didn't understand the language, and so they deemed them niggards. And because they were so ignorant, those that left Mother England, they dropped the D and just made it nigger. Do your homework, people. Take the power from the word. And so later, when Rachel says that Trayvon called Mr. Zimmerman a nigger, he knew what he was saying. Because that's an ignorant person. And I have to let you know, when I stopped using the word, was when Richard Pryor went to Africa to do a show and found out there was no equivalent in the Swahili language. And he said, that's good enough for me. I'm done. And let me tell you something, my dears. Good enough for me, because I'm done. You hear me? So, I want people to have the information, because they're trying to turn Trayvon into the racist. And I got one more point to make about that. In order for you to be a racist, you have to be the motherfucker in power. And like I have said for the last 20 some odd years, please, for somebody to point out when a black man in this country ever had that kind of power. Oh, well, we have President Obama, but clearly we know he just can't do things all on his own, because he needs those people in that room called Congress. You understand? The Senate is Democratic, so it has the dominant Democratic numbers. That's if all of the Democrats are behind President Obama. And don't get me wrong, I'm not an Obamaite. You understand? Politicians are politicians to me, honey. I don't give a fuck what color they are. They're all getting paid under the table, and they're all going to have a job long after their job, quote unquote, is done. So now, I want to drop one other piece of information that might have slipped through while they were browbeating Rachel Gentile. It was revealed that there are no black women. That one woman that might have been black on the jury, she is Hispanic. So I want to know, what peers does Trayvon have to fall back on? Because I guarantee if there had been a black woman in South Florida anywhere that had been on that jury, she would have understood that little girl. And it wouldn't have mattered if she had a PhD or she just arrived. She would have understood that little girl. But they didn't do that. They didn't feel it necessary. You understand? So we have to just keep all of this in mind as we move through. Because here's the deal. I had to step back once all of this started to happen. All of these headlines that were moving through. These are the questions I asked you all. Hail me up if you want to. These are the questions I had to ask to self. Is all of this a distraction? What are they doing that they don't want us to pay attention to? Are they trying to create greater division? Are they trying to reignite the ugliest time in this country, which is associated to black on white racism, white on black discard? Is that what they're doing? Are they trying to create greater division between the gay community and the black community? Or are they simply trying to dazzle us with a whole bunch of bullshit? Or are they trying to scare us? Or are we simply being used as pawns in some twisted scheme? If you ask me, it's some wag the dog shit, man. They got this dog by the tail right near his rasshole, and they are swinging him all over Washington, D.C. They are swinging him all over the airwaves. They are swinging him all over Twitter. Swing, swing, swing. That poor dog needs to reach back and bite that hand. You understand? So it'll drop him. Because it's getting to be a bit much. Listen, Miss Cleo, well, where is all of that coming from? All right, hang in there with me. Go and bring it full circle for you, eh? Most of the salacious headlines right now include a black-white race issue. Now, why are you so passionate about this, Cleo? Because this will impact every friendship of black and white. This will impact relationships of black and white. This will ease into our homes if we are not careful and create discord where there was none. It will take misunderstanding and turn it into war. Let's just go ahead and take a look at Paula Deen. Now, some of you are tired of hearing about Paula Deen. And certainly, she may indeed be a distraction. But you know what my question is? Who the hell did Paula Deen piss off? Because that's the real question. She pissed off somebody, baby. She pissed them off bad. Because Paula Deen has been on television now for 12 years or so, because I've been watching her. I stopped watching her when she went real Hollywood. You understand? Started to put in the different kind of hair pieces in the hair and all of this, and Ray and Ray and Ray and Ray. I liked her because she cooked with butter. And I was tired of everybody trying to get me to cook without butter. I like cooking with butter. I appreciated the recipes. I appreciated her. But she's from the South, people. Georgia, the woman is 66 years old. Back in the South in Georgia, the N-word was used like water. And of course, you couldn't drink at the same water fountain. And there were all kinds of shortenings of that word. There were Negros. You understand? And they had all kinds of different variations, you know? Because the people in the South certainly don't think they were speaking the King's English either. Yeah, because I'm hot about the way they treated that little girl. Trust this. Now, so that you all are clear, because I watched her apology the other day on the Today Show, and I felt for her, because here's the thing. So much of what is reported as truth is pure lie. So understand that there was a lawsuit filed against Ms. Deen and her brother at one of their restaurants, and it was filed by a manager of one of the restaurants who said that they were forced to work in a hostile and racist work environment. And in a deposition that was quote-unquote leaked, in that deposition, Ms. Deen admits that she said the N-word and admits that perhaps she looked the other way when there was an off-color joke or an insinuated off-color joke and that she may have allowed certain pornography, whatever that may be, to be up in the workplace, perhaps where the people get dressed, you know, in the back, where they have their lockers, whatever the case may be. And when I heard that Food Network fired, I thought, oh, that's a little bit harsh. How the hell did they didn't know that this woman didn't use the N-word? Because here's the thing, I'm not calling her a racist, but we all, black and white alike, suffer from institutionalized racism. Plain and simple. You know how many black people would not call President Obama President Obama? They just call him Barack. Like they had it like that. It was disrespectful. The man is the president of these United States.
President Obama. You understand? I've seen newscasters that have had to come back and apologize because they've said something so disrespectful about this man. And again, wrong is wrong. Like I said, I'm not an Obamaite, he's a politician, but wrong is wrong. Now, part of my concern is that when she did make her apology, I often have a concern or an issue when somebody uses the term always and never, because those are terms that are not real. Not sure why they're in the English language, but they're not real. Because when somebody says they never do something, that's not true. And when somebody says they always do something, that's not true. I'm not calling them a liar. It's just not, it would be perfection. And there is no perfection on this planet. Now, she made the statement that she used it once 30 years ago, and she never. And that's where she lost me, because it's not accurate. And then there's a video out there where she has made an off-color comment to a black man that was not cool, but somebody caught it on tape, and there it lies. And now she is trying to exercise damage control. I wish she had hired a media consultant prior to going on the air, because she is defending lies. And my father used to say, uno, not supposed to defend a lie. The moment you defend it, you give it life. And that's what she did. But here's my problem. And here's why I go back to the question, who the fuck did Paula Deen piss off? Because 4 or 5 years ago, Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know, that guy who runs around in Hawaii catching whatever they call Bounty Hunter, you know, and then bail bondsman, right? I remember very clearly that he was recorded by one of his daughters who was dating a black man, and he must have used the N-word about 27 times with full anger, full rant, and we all got to hear it. And A&E decided, no, we're not going to fire him. So now, is this because he's a white male that he can go around and say that and it's very okay? But Ms. Deen, nobody's got her recorded. This is a lawsuit. They fired her, and she is slowly watching her revenue streams dwindle down to nothing. You tell me, what was the difference? And myself personally, I stopped watching A&E, and I wrote them a letter. And I said, after something like that, you lose my viewership. Now, maybe it meant nothing to them. But to me, I stand on principle. I don't care who's looking, who's not cooking. I stand on principle. I used to watch Morning Joe on MSNBC. After listening to Joe Scarborough the other day, after the decision was handed down by the United States Supreme Court, and he's thinking that it's outmoded too, I won't listen anymore. Sorry, they lose me again. And the whole station will lose me. But of course, the media, they do what they do. They're all pawns and paid pawns in the whole of this. Here's something else that I thought that was interesting. This morning when we got the newspaper, Frontline's huge pica, bold print, gay marriage victory. You can see that picture on the channel that you're watching right now. Huge. At the top of the page, nothing to the left of it, nothing to the right of it. That was this morning, the 27th. Yesterday on the 26th, the first story at the top of the page. Not quite as big a print as gay marriage, but it was about a janitor who's on the run, a black man. They had his picture up there for killing two people. And then just below that article, much significantly smaller print, no bolding, United States Supreme Court strikes down Voters' Rights Act. You tell me. I'm a little bit bugged by that. And when I went to look for the story on the 27th on the news and the 26th on the news, guess what? No story. Nobody's talking about it. Because everybody's talking about the gay marriage victory. And I got to tell you, makes me not happy. Makes me a bit hot. Because once again,
this is contrived and deliberate. So then I have to put my heart and my upset into perspective, because I don't want to be used as a pawn. So I'm not going to buy in to all of this salacious bullshit, because I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you that I'm going to be interested to see what's being said on every pulpit in every white church and every black church throughout the South. Because I'm wondering if this will cause white preacher and black preacher to come together to fight the gay contingent. You understand? Sometimes opposing forces will come together to fight a common enemy. Is that what they're doing? Don't know. The different headlines, is that to create more of a divide between the black community and the gay community? And quite interesting to me that the Voters' Rights Act was struck down during the watch of the first black president of these United States of America. And as I said, the greater insult continues to be that we have to now wait on Congress. And here's what I want you all to understand, that no matter if you suck dick or you yam pussy, and I'm speaking to the women out there, the fact that they struck down the Voters' Rights Act impacts you as well. Every woman, no flavor. Because there was a provision added for women when women in this country were given the right to vote at the beginning of the century. Okay, so I don't think people really recognize who this impacts. And yes, they just did sweeping revisions on immigration law. But guess what? That's what provision 203 is for. So this impacts everyone except for the white male, gay or straight, it no matter. But their rights are all still intact. But here is one of the places that is difficult for me. As a member of the LGBT community, and a proud one, and one who has been fighting for the rights of the GLBT community for more than half of my life, the gay community, or the gay lobbyists, or the gay leadership loves to equate the civil rights movement with the gay rights movement. And this angers many, and I understand why, because you can stay in the closet and nobody knows. When you're black, you're black. You can't, there is no closet. You understand? There ain't that much bleach and cream in the whole of the world. You're black, you're black. And in this country, in those original papers, one speck of black blood in you, you're a black man, black woman. But for a very long time, it confused me, because discrimination is discrimination. So I never understood why the black community and the gay community couldn't come together. And I never understood why my partner, who is white, and myself, who is black, why we had to suffer and why we still suffer discrimination from the gay community. And we suffer discrimination from the straight community. Why? Because we are a biracial couple. Now, my main issue with this is that in all of what is going on, And if the gay community said, no, we stand with our black brethren, our brethren of color, NAACP supports them, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton, there's a whole bunch of black entities that have stood up for the gay community. I want to ask you today, at 9 p.m. this evening, on June 27, 2013, where all of those wonderful gay people who wanted to acquit the gay movement with the civil rights movement, where are you all at? You're too busy partying. You're too busy having a good time because you all have a perceived victory. I gotta tell you that it is a sad thing when you forget people who stepped up for you and you get something and you go skipping down the yellow brick road, not ever looking back because you're too fucking happy with what you got. And here's just a brief message to all of you gay folks out there who forgot to say, we are so happy about what we achieved, but we are so disappointed in what has been lost. When they came to the synagogues and they took the Jews, I didn't speak up because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. When they came to the factories for the trade unionists to break their will, I didn't speak up because I am self-employed. When they came to the cathedrals for the Catholics, I didn't speak up because I am an Episcopalian. When they came for the blacks and sprayed them with fire hoses and chased them with dogs, I didn't speak up because I have never been to the motherland. When they came to the barrios for the Chicanos and pushed them to the edge of town, I didn't speak up because my skin wasn't brown. When they came for the illegal immigrants and threw them into detention centers and separated child from parent, I didn't speak up because I was a law-abiding citizen. When they came for the elderly and disabled, I didn't speak up because I am young and able-bodied. When they came for the mentally challenged and emotionally damaged, I didn't speak up because I have a little purple pill that deals with all of that. When they came for the gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders, I didn't speak up because I am straight, conservative, and contented to stay in the closet. When they came to Tent City for the homeless, disrespecting what few possessions they had, I didn't speak up because I have a home. When they came for the musicians burning their music and destroying their instruments, I didn't speak up because I am tone deaf. When they came for the poets and writers censoring their life's work, I didn't speak up because I can't read. When they came for the artists and sculptors broke their tools and broke their hands, I didn't speak up because it simply didn't interest me. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak up. I had a client last night who is a member of the GLBT community, and before we began her reading, she was very excited to tell me about how many people had emailed her, texted her, called her about the victory. And I said, yeah, no, I said, quite something. She lives up in the D.C., Virginia area. I said, no, very exciting. I said, but, you know, a little bit dismayed because, you know, the Voters' Rights Act was struck down and a portion of it put back in Congress's up. She's like, oh, my goodness, I didn't hear about that. So I don't want any of us, and I'm talking to myself as well, to be disappointed with anyone else other than ourselves. Because now it is the new book, and those of you who have been following me in 2013 know that I talk about the new book, and I talked about the changes that were coming, and I talked about how it was never about the world coming to an end in 2012. It was about the world looking very different than what we know it to be. And that is what we are experiencing now, my dears. These are the changes.
the differences. Some of them are grand. Because at the end of the day, I was so heartbroken at the actions of the United States Supreme Court and the lack of reaction from people. And not satisfied at all by the shock of the talking heads. I want to know where the people with a voice, where's Jay-Z, where's Beyonce, where's P. Diddy, where is Samuel Jackson, where's Alex Haley, where are all these people who have voice? Where's Hillary? I want some women to talk to. Where are all of these individuals who have voice, all of the women from the women's movement? Where are they? Where is your voice? What will you stand up and say? Because just because you think you've won something, I want you all to see the pattern. Because we are one right at a time giving away all of our personal liberties. We are allowing them to take back what they promised. And next week, a week from today, is Independence Day, the 4th of July. How free are you feeling? I'm not feeling so free. And the march on Washington, that anniversary is around the corner. So they gave us a statue of Martin Luther King and misquoted the man in stone last year, and this year, they piss all over the crowning jewel of the civil rights movement in this country. And once again, my feelings are hurt. I'm disappointed. And to me, it's a sad, sad day in this country when that happened. I don't want people rioting in the streets. That's not what I'm after. I want people to have a conversation. I'm hoping that this show gets good ratings. I'm hoping that people are interested in what's really going on. But I have a dear friend. My dog said, "Dog, I don't think it's going to matter till it matters, man." And I so want her to be wrong. Because I want there to be people out there that say that this matters. And I'm talking to a lot of the folks out there, you young ones under the age of 30, 30-something. A lot of you follow my show, a lot of you follow me on Twitter. Folks 45 and over, they're complacent, man. They don't care. But this is about your future. This is about your elder years and how you will spend them in this country. And this is moreover about the future of your children and your grandchildren. Because I have to tell you, as a mother, I'm very saddened that this is what my daughters will have to contend with, and this is what my grandchildren will still have to contend with. It almost makes me a little sick to my stomach. And when we sit here and we look at pattern, this pattern is important. We look at pattern. They promised the Native American a whole bunch of things and took it back. They promised the freed black man 40 acres and a mule. Took that back. Let's see. They promised the black man and the woman that they would have the right to vote in this country. They took that back. So to all of my brethren in my GLBT community, don't get to dancing too hard, because they still might decide to take that back. And the only way that we make sure that they don't take it back is that we stay connected, we stay focused, we stay plugged in, my dears. Because I was saddened that Rachel Gentile said, "I don't watch the news." And of course the news is a bunch of shit, but you got to learn between, to read between the lines, at least
get the facts, get the information. Don't be swept up in all of the minutiae and the madness, because that's really going to bring my point home here. Don't let them use you. Don't let them frighten you. We're not going to be frightened by this. We are going to make sure in 2014 there is election time for those congresspeople and those senators. So we need to identify which ones are outmoded. Because I got to tell you, we haven't had a whole lot of black senators, my dears. And that's a problem. We have a few more black congressmen, congresswomen. You understand? But even sometimes I wonder what they're doing. Because I used to have mad love for Maxine Waters until she decided she wanted to develop Ebonics back in the 90s. I was embarrassed. We need to hold these individuals accountable. Now, I know they make it rough and tough for any of us to run for office ourselves, but we get to go to that place where at least we can still attempt to go to that place and vote. But your greatest armor, your greatest protection is knowledge. Your greatest armor, your greatest protection is education. Because what you know will be the thing that protects your rights. I'm just very happy that my brother and my sister-in-law, who were a biracial couple and who fought the good fight, they got together in 1970, so you know what it was like back then. And they fought the good fight all the way through. I've told you about this. And that is my peace in my soul, to know that neither one of them had to see this happen in the three dimension. That they are on the other side, in another dimension. And I can hear their dismay. Because it's a sad day in this country when we allow the powers that be to put so much out there and to frighten us and scare us and to have us so distracted that we can't possibly pay attention to what they're doing in Syria now, or whether or not the president is going to vote on fracking, which we know already disrupts this planet. Perhaps they might kill Snowden and we won't know. We're not sure. Who knows what other kind of promises and things they will do. Yes, they have passed some sweeping revisions on immigration. Any of you who are not from this country, I don't care where you're from, they act like immigration only applies to the brown man. And I have friends who immigrate from Canada, from the islands, from Europe, from Australia. So how is it that when we talk about immigration, we are talking about just that fence that separates us from Mexico or Mexico and here? Listen to the language, my dears. Listen to the words. They're not hiding anything anymore. So when you see all of this kind of stuff going on, let's not forget Aaron Hernandez as well. Paula Deen, Snowden, Zimmerman, Nelson Mandela, IRS scandal. And did you know that the CFO that was working with Leahy, with Enron years ago, big hoopla, due to a technicality last week, his sentence was significantly reduced? Did you hear about that? Bet you didn't. Big old white-collar crook. All of a sudden, a technicality, and wow, his sentence gets significantly reduced.
But you didn't hear nobody protesting that. You didn't hear any of the talking heads talking about that, did you? And let's not forget about the stop and frisk. And let's not forget that Texas just celebrated their 500th death by lethal injection. There's all kinds of things going on, my dears. And there's a whole bunch of shit afoot. And you all can continue to plug into your video games and watch your reality TV and be concerned about what celebrity is doing this and what celebrity is doing that. But you better take a moment to watch what's actually happening around you. Because if you ask me, this is all a setup. And if something doesn't go right with this George Zimmerman case, it could be ripe for some pretty intense civil unrest in this country. Because when I say a bad deja vu, I watched this happen more than 20 years ago in Los Angeles. Distraction, uncertain. Perhaps they are testing their mobilization skills. But for me, it just gives me a whole lot of pause as to why now? Why so much of it right now? I don't believe in coincidence. Supreme Court could have handed down this decision last week, could have handed down this decision a couple of months ago, would have given some cooling off time to people. But instead, they hand it down now. Zimmerman case is going on, and I find it quite ironic that for 2 days, they have this beautiful little chocolate girl on the stand. And the cross-examination, if you ask me, as well as what the state did. Oh, I know you come from a Haitian household, you can't speak English. The girl spoke fine English in the urban world. No problem. You all know I told you I'm having some dental work done. I got more of a lisp than normal. I don't know how she did it with all of those braces in her mouth. And with all that was going on for her personally. I got somebody sitting on the line hanging there with me. Good evening. You're on the air with Conversations with Cleo. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Were you just tuning in or did you have a comment or a question?
I had a comment. This is Charles in charge from Twitter, by the way.
Oh, how you doing, baby love? What's your comment? Talk to me, Charles. Everybody give some love at Charles in charge. Good man here.
Well, first I want to say that I absolutely love your show and thank you for taking the time to bring the issues that are so important or should be so important to us. So I do appreciate that. But what I really want to say is that, you know, it's, you know, unfortunate that this times that we are still dealing with these type of issues in the Zimmerman case or even with the Voters Act, you know, law. There are bills that are not being passed. And I want to thank you for bringing some light to the situations because I think we fail to really realize what's going on in the world and what's most important. So thank you.
Oh, Charles, I appreciate that, sir. I always appreciate you tuning in. Mad love, baby boy. I hope you all were listening to that because people do have opinions, you know, and you know, they spend a lot of time frightening us. And so either you're with them or you're against them. But it began with just a few people, and we can bring the change about with just a few people. And it's more than a few. I use that just because I don't have an actual number. But I so appreciate as many of you that have supported this show tonight and that will share this information with the people that you know and with the people that you love, and we'll come together and get some ideas out there, because we can't give up now. We've come entirely too far. You understand? And I'm just about at the fucking mountaintop. They're not going to pull the rug out from under me. How about you, Charles?
Absolutely.
All right, baby boy. Thank you much. I love you. You have a good weekend now.
Love you, too. Talk to you soon.
All right, Papa. Bye-bye. That was at Charles in Charge. Y'all can hit him up on Twitter. Very solid young man. Very impressed. Good guy. Very, very intelligent. And not that we all are not magnificently intelligent. I don't care. And you know what's something funny? I just want to throw this out there as well. When Rachel, at the end of her testimony, they asked her how many languages she spoke. Guess what? She speaks three. Not only does she speak Creole and French, all right, she also speaks Spanish, and she speaks urban English. Now, I want to know how many languages Mr. West on the defense team, how many languages does he speak, and how many languages does Mr. Omar speak? Because that's what I want to know. You understand? Because this little girl clearly is a linguist. And when you are a linguist, sometimes it can get a little bit garbled. And again, let's not forget about the braces. Once again, I need to, at the end of this show, as we are coming up on our goodbye and whatnot, I got to give out some love to so many of mine that, again, supported this show. My boss always, at LDC Management, at Nitrosit, at LMB underscore poetry, hope your interview went well. At It's EJ Baby, supported me. At Soul Sister 101, supported the show. There's just so many wonderful people out there that I know we will continue to have this conversation. We will continue to raise our voices. Also, some love out at M. Chase's. That's M-C-H-A-S-E-Z, Mad Love Boss, appreciate it, eh? Let's see, who else? And, you know, I wanted to throw in a however comma for all of my brethren out there who appreciate the however comma. You know, this is what they put down, and this is what they've done, but however comma, we're not done. And no matter what they do, we will not succumb to the fear. We will not succumb to the madness. Also, love out to Chaz Untamed. Love out to so many of you that I couldn't get a chance to mention you on the show. But without a doubt, out to at Black District, out to at Poetic Designs, out to Miss Chanel Crystal. All of these very powerful, young, amazing people that I am looking forward to what they will create, what they will establish, because my money is on them. And all of these people look all manner of ways. You understand? All of these people are wonderful, amazing, delicious, intelligent, vibrant people. And that's who I am going to put my heart, my faith, and my energy into, because they deserve it. And they will continue to work to make this a different place to live. I am counting on that. And as we get ready to leave this vibration, I want to give you guys a heads up. Next week's show, which will be on the 4th of July, we are going to open up the show to poets nationwide, worldwide, because you can get me everywhere. So I invite you all, if you want to just send us an MP3 file, you can send it to info@conversationswithcleo.net, or you can send it to realmisscleo@gmail.com. Both of those will come into the office, and we will do everything in our power to get as many pieces on the show. If it's a new piece, we'd ask that it remain between 3 to 5 minutes so that we can play the entire piece. I will be writing what I am going to call the House Mix, and that's because I'm going to dedicate it to Congress, and it's going to be the House Mix of What If, the conspiracy side. And we're going to put that down on the show. Few other pieces that I think will be pertinent to what we are all feeling, but we want to have a creative environment for people to express themselves, because it is indeed important. And poets have led the charge behind every great evolution for centuries. So this century, this 21st century, will be no different, because we will lead the charge. The musicians, you understand? The artists, we will lead the charge, because we have to speak up. There is no carry your head. Take that back. Everybody got a choice. But if you make the choice to bury your head, please don't come cry on any our shoulder. You understand? Because that just won't fly anymore. Now, I'm not saying that you can't live your life and enjoy. Absolutely. When I get out of here, I'm going to go finish my red stripe, fill up my pipe, and put my feet up, talk to my partner, and pet my dog. And that's what my evening is going to look like. But I will be able to close my eyes tonight. I know that when I wake up in the morning time, I'm coming with some ideas. I'm coming with some conversation for friends, and how and what we need to be watching. You understand? What we need to be watching. Because they're not the only ones that get to flip the script. And we won't give them what they're looking for. We're going to give them a response that they are not expecting. We will not buy into the stereotypes. We will not buy into the hype. We will put all of our heart and all of our energy into evolving into something much different than what they have planned. All right, my dear. I appreciate those of you who tuned in this evening and shared your Thursday evening with me. I ask you all to have a very safe weekend. And if you're headed out for a trip to celebrate the summer or to go and spend the 4th of July with family, I am asking you, me to you, share this show, share this link with friends, with people who you think might take something away from it, might take something away from the energy, and then have an additional discussion, whether you have it with me, whether you have it with a workmate, whether you have it with a person that you're waiting at the bus stop with. Please, this is our way out, is we will share and learn and teach one to another, because that's what I believe we're here for. All right, my dears, we're getting ready to cue up that wonderful, wonderful goodbye that we only do here at Conversations with Cleo, and we'll be back next week, July the 4th. Like I said to all my poets, hit me up. Take care. You have been listening to Conversations with Cleo, live Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for sharing your evening with me, and I hope to see you back here next week. Visit me at conversationswithcleo.com or hail me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo. And remember, 50% of the people aren't going to like you. So spend all your time, your heart, and your energy on the 50% that do. Peace. Blow that horn, boss.